Order. Order. The House will come to order straight away. Order. I ask visitors please to respect this House.
But Honihawawera's supporters in the public gallery continued with their waiata after the Speaker ordered him from the chamber for putting the treaty before the Crown when swearing his oath of allegiance as the new Mana MP for Te Tai Tokoro.
Order. 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 That is not the affirmation required by law. Honihawawera will now leave the chamber and return to this chamber on a sitting day when he is prepared to make his affirmation according to the law of this land. The member, the Honihawawera, will now leave the chamber.
The Speaker said Mr. Hawawera had knowingly broken the rules.
Honihawawera was advised prior to his taking the affirmation that the law of New Zealand, of this country, required the affirmation to be taken in a certain way.
The only support for Mr. Hawawera came from the Greens, with this request from their co-leader, Russell Norman.
I seek leave for Mr. Honihawawera to be given another opportunity now to take the oath.
Leave is sought for that course of action. Is there any objection?
Yes.
There is objection.
So Honihawawera will have to wait until the next sitting day, and with the House now adjourned for a fortnight, that won't be till Tuesday, August the 2nd. Although he's officially a Member of Parliament and has been since he was elected to represent his Mana party in the by-election on June the 25th, he can't vote or take a seat in the chamber until he's been sworn in. Meanwhile, the total number of MPs will drop back to 121 again from the beginning of next week when National's John Carter leaves to become High Commissioner in the Cook Islands. As the vacancy in his Northland electorate will occur within 6 months of the next general election already set for November the 26th, a by-election can be avoided by a vote of at least 75% of members in the House. First, though, the government has to take the initiative, and that can't happen until after Parliament resumes on August the 2nd. Meanwhile, after Mr. Hawawera retreated from the chamber on Thursday, his former Māori Party co-leader and Associate Health Minister Tariana Turia led off debate on the third and final reading of the Smoke-Free Environments Controls and Enforcement Amendment Bill.
I sincerely appreciate the leadership of the Prime Minister and the support of the Health Minister, Tony Rowe, in enabling this legislation to be passed during the course of this Parliament.
Cross-party support for the legislation, which prohibits tobacco advertising in shops, continued with only three ACT Party members voting against it. Also given a third reading this week was the Television New Zealand Amendment Bill abolishing the Charter and the Weathertight Homes Resolution Services Financial Assistance Package Amendment Bill. National's response to the leaky building crisis, for which their Building and Construction Minister Maurice Williamson said no one was to blame.
This was a systemic failure across the entire industry.
Question times this week were dominated by Labor's attempts to make the government admit that shares in partially privatised energy companies could be bought by foreigners, while National played on fears of Labor's capital gains tax, drawing this question for the Prime Minister from the Greens co-leader Russell Norman.
Does he stand by his statement that a capital gains tax would be a dagger through the heart of growth?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Yes.
Meanwhile, Mr. Key's Labour Minister, Kate Wilkinson, faced this question from Russell Norman's fellow Green MP, Kevin Haig.
Is underground mining safe in New Zealand?
But when Mr. Haig narrowed his focus to concentrate on safety in the Pike River coal mine, he got this response from the Minister.
Mr. Speaker, those issues have been raised as evidence at the Royal Commission, and therefore that is the appropriate place for them to be considered.
The Speaker agreed that the proceedings before a Royal Commission were not sub judice and was also sympathetic to this argument from Labor's Shadow Attorney-General, David Parker.
Governments, of course, cause the creation of Royal Commissions of Inquiry, and if by doing that the government could effectively oust the right of parliamentarians to discuss issues of public interest, that would pervert the course of this Parliament.
Mr. Haig was allowed to continue with his question line.
Does the Minister think it is good enough that when the two Pike River survivors struggled to the phone in the Pike River mine and called the Pike River surface controller, their call went to an answer phone?
Overruling the government's protest at that question would definitely embarrass the Royal Commission, the Speaker ruled that the Minister had to give an answer.
The Minister must be the sole judge as to whether an answer is in the public interest or not, and that is a matter for the Minister. The Honourable Kate Wilkinson.
Mr Speaker, once again, I am reluctant to make any comments on evidence that may or may not be before the Royal Commission of Inquiry because I do not want to be seen as compromising or influencing its determination.
Parliament's adjourned for 2 weeks, back on Tuesday, August the 2nd. I'm Tom Frewin, and this programme was brought to you with funding from the Office of the Clerk.